Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
My name is Brenda Fraser. So happy to be with you on this beautiful Friday afternoon here in Missouri. That was a song selection called Peaceful World by Steve Gelman. He's from the East Coast, from the Washington, D.C. area, but he's one of the artists featured at Butterfly and Moon on South Main Street in historic St. Charles. And that's the location this weekend for the large Festival of the Little Hills. There are artists from all over the country in St. Charles this weekend. I think something like 600 vendors all along Frontier Park and Main Street. But come see us. We're open late tonight, tomorrow night, and all day Sunday. And we are featuring art by 20 different local women artists. One of them is on our program today. She's our most successful artist. She makes beautiful words that are inspirational, like love and believe and faith, out of vintage jewelry. These are just beautiful mosaic pieces. They are incredible wall art. They're good for any room of your house or office. And I want to welcome to the program Barb Lillis. Welcome to the program. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Brenda?
Good. Well, thanks for calling in. Barb has an interesting story to share with us today. She has a company called Imagine It Mosaics, and I assume she imagined this business for years before she stepped into life as a full-time artist, making her creations. She also makes creations with stained glass. But originally, Barb, you started out as a school teacher, right?
I did. I started out as a school teacher. I taught elementary school for almost 20 years. And when I retired, we went to Arizona for the winters. And that's where I got interested in doing stained glass to begin with at a resort where we were staying. Then not long
did
after
you,
that, my... Pardon me, go ahead.
I was just going to say, did you take a class in stained glass art?
I did. I did take a class. And one of the things I learned to make were gazing balls out of old bowling balls, where you take old bowling balls, fill up the holes with, I use wine corks, good way to get rid of them, and then you cover them with stained glass with a picture or something, and you put them in your yard, and they don't blow away, and they don't break. So that's how I got started.
Well,
and when, yeah, go ahead.
Well, what inspired you to experiment with a bowling ball? How did you think of that, or where did you hear about that?
In the class I took, one of the ladies was doing it also. So, and I thought it was so pretty. So, and then because old bowling balls usually go to the landfills, I wanted to keep as many of them as I could out of the landfills. So that's how we got started. As a matter of fact, we would call around to the different bowling alleys here in St. Louis, and they would say, well, yeah, we've got some, but we just threw them in the dumpster. And that's when my husband would go with me, and he would go dumpster diving looking for the bowling ball. At one time, we were in one, and he had backed his truck up to it, and he got in, and his head got lower and lower and lower, and then he was gone. And he comes out, he says, I found the mother load.
Oh, my goodness.
I got nine that time.
Wow. No one ever thinks about the types of things that end up in landfills. And I know we have another artist at the store at Butterfly Moon that makes jewelry out of wine bottle corks. And so you were thinking about bowling balls, and I would think if those did end up in a landfill, they would last probably for centuries, and some future generation would say, what is this big, heavy contraption? So this is fantastic. So we like upcycling and recycling art and using found objects. And I know you use other found objects like recycled barnwood. Where do you get your barnwood?
Wherever I can find it. If we're driving down the highway and I see an old barn, and if I can find somebody close by, I'll go by and ask them if I can have a couple of pieces. but people really like old barnwood now, so it's getting harder to get hold of.
Yes, it is. So, and it has such character. It almost like carries all the memories of the people and the time period that the building it came from. Do you think?
Do you wonder about
the people that may have seen that wood 100 years ago?
Right. Well, I also take old windows and do stained glass mosaics on those because, I mean, that is history right there from these old houses and all. And I try not to change the glass that's in the old window. And even if it's cracked, I'll do a mosaic on top of it. Just so that.
Oh, so you actually keep the glass in the window itself and mosaic on top of it?
I do. Mm. Yeah, I do.
Wow, that's
because, you know, that's something else. I know I could recycle that glass, but I just feel like there's stories in that glass, so I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm. There are stories in the glass, and that's a great quote. What are some of the stories? Did you ever meet any of the people that told you stories about the wood from the house or from the barn or any of the old windows?
Yeah, my sister, matter of fact, had four old windows in her barn. And after she died, I took those four windows, and I was going to turn them into stained glass windows for her four children. So that's how I got started doing the windows.
Oh, wow. And so when did you first start showing your art publicly?
Oh, about 3 years ago, maybe four. It was, at first it was just word of mouth around it, my friends and all. You know, I've got this old bowling ball, will you cover it for me? And then I had a few friends that needed, like, small windows and things like that done. So that's how I did. But I first started doing shows probably 4 years ago. And one of the shows that I do is the Mosaic Festival in St. Charles, too. And I've been doing that one for 3 years now.
Fantastic. And so was it a little scary to step out as an artist after, you know, a self-definition as a teacher? All of us have, you know, sort of different chapters in our life, and we think of ourselves in one way. I know after I left full-time employment, I had a little bit of an identity crisis because I was so tied up into this business card that had a title on it and, you know, this certain life I had in Washington, D.C., and I had to reinvent myself a couple of different times in my life. I mean, was it a challenge for you to sort of stop thinking of yourself as a teacher and start thinking of yourself as an artist?
Yes, it was. And at first, you know, I didn't want anybody to see my art because I really didn't think it was that good. But I had to transition, like you said, from being an ex-teacher to becoming an artist. And that took a couple of years to do. But and you've been a big help getting me there, too. You and the Butterfly Moon and Patrice. I like your support and your encouragement. So thank you.
Well, you know what? You're welcome. That's what it's all about. You know, it's all about us helping each other. And I think a lot of times in over the last 40, 50 years, I mean, professional men seem to help each other on the golf course or sitting around watching a sporting game. But, you know, for women, it's, you know, shopping or over a glass of wine or, you know, just sharing stories. And I think one thing that touched me about you was sharing your story about your sister. And I shared a story. I had lost my sister. And, you know, the loss of a sibling is significant of any family member. But to transform that grief into something positive, and where, in your case, you were raising money for the Cancer Society. But what are some tips for people that are out there? I mean, I'm going to a funeral later today. I have a visitation of someone else's brother that died this week. So, I mean, I'm going to two different things today for family members that are dealing with grief and loss. Do you have any tips for how you got through the loss of your sister?
You know, I had to pray a lot about it because at first I was angry with God because he had taken her away from me, and because she was such a wonderful person and such a very strong Christian. But then I had to come realize that she had done what he put her on this earth to do, and it was time for him to take her home with him. And that's how I got through it.
I just got goosebumps when you said that, and that always happens when there's truth spoken. I mean, she had finished her work and on this planet and was ready to go on to her next experience.
She was.
And so how is her life, how does it show up in your work? Has it showed up in your work or other people that have come to you that have lost a family member? How has that shown up in your work?
You know, a lot of times people come to me that's lost a friend or a family member, and they ask me to do something, and so I'll make a memorial stepping stone, or if they've got old jewelry, I'll take old jewelry and make maybe an initial for their loved one that's lost so that they will have a constant reminder. I've even made crosses for people out of their mothers or sisters or somebody's jewelry. But there are a lot of people here in Lake St. Louis, where I live, that were on the golf course. I mean, the golf committee with us. And when both of them passed away or one of them passed away, I would make memorial stones, and I put them up by our clubhouse so that everybody will remember them and they won't be forgotten.
Wow. What a great legacy, too, and tribute. We've had a lot of customers come into Butterfly Moon and you know, share stories of their mother, grandmother, aunts, and different people. The vintage jewelry just elicits memories. And do you remember as a child looking into your mother's jewelry box and playing, dress up in her room?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I do remember that. And my grandmother. So, and then as my sister was 8 years older than I was. And so I remember playing with her stuff, too. And she didn't like that, but I still did it.
And vintage jewelry is making a comeback now. There's all kinds of groups that are actually dressing up in vintage clothing and are vintage enthusiasts. So is it hard to sort of start hammering away at some silver bracelet, or are you detached from it? I mean, I see some of your pieces, and I almost cringe because there's some beautiful vintage sterling silver and even things from the early 1900s. I mean, I see some very valuable rhinestone pieces encased, enmeshed, embossed, whatever, in your artwork. And, you know, I'm thinking, wow, that would have been a nice brooch just to wear. But it's now immortalized, I guess, on a piece of art. So,
right.
I mean, do you have to do anything to the jewelry to prepare it to be mounted?
Well, a lot of times I have to clean it. And then I have a trusty pair of snippers, and I just go at it and take it apart.
Snip, snip.
And then I look for some large piece to inspire me, and then I try to play from that around it.
some large piece to inspire you. Mean
like a large brooch or, you know, a large.
I see.
Even hair clips. I've used hair clips before as you know, better or vintage. So anything.
So
that's
one focal piece might kick it off.
Right. That's
I
right.
See. Okay. And yeah. then you embellish just, around that one focal piece.
Right. I did one yesterday where the focal piece was, it looked very native African. So, and then I kind of played off of that.
Oh, can't wait to see that. I know we have a fleur-de-lis that has some Native American and Southwestern influence with copper and turquoise. And you know, each piece is so different. There were Mardi Gras-themed fleur-de-lis that were very popular. And, of course, the word love. Everybody loves love. And that one word, love, has been the bestseller. And I think it speaks to different people. Some people want to give it as a wedding present. Some people just want it to be reminded. It's like an affirmation to get up in the morning and see a positive word. So what kind of positive words do you have in your home that keep you inspired?
I have one that my sister bought for me. Actually, it's a saying, and it says, yesterday are memories, tomorrow is the future, but right now is the present. So enjoy it.
Mm.
So, yeah, she gave me that right before she died. So that inspires me every time I read it.
Wow.
And that's what I try to do is I try to live for the moment and enjoy life and enjoy my work, enjoy my family. So.
Now, those are all great words to live by. And, you know, often guests on this program have talked about overcoming some different struggles, as most people have in their life. But I know you had a serious health scare a few years ago. Can you talk about that a little bit and how you got through that difficult time in your life?
You mean when I had shingles?
And shingles, yeah, that's a very painful issue.
That was
well, sure.
awful. Yeah,
pick that
awful.
Sure.
Yeah, I was teaching school and yeah, I'm still not completely over, and that's been about 7 years ago. So, but I'm pretty healthy otherwise.
And what inspires you? I mean, everybody has down days and up days. You're a very up, positive person, and I think positive people attract more joy into their life and more success as well. But are there days where you're just exhausted? I mean, you're on the road sometimes. You're going to other cities, doing festivals around the country. How do you rejuvenate?
I come home, and I am tired for a couple of days, and I just kind of relax. I'll go for a walk. I'll talk to I have a friendship group out here that is amazing, and we get together. We go to lunch or we go to breakfast. And we just laugh and laugh and laugh. And that's one of the things that rejuvenates me is getting with my friends. And my best friend is my husband, and he's always with me. So if he's not down, then I'm usually not down also. So, you know,
laugh is one of those other words that we have at the shop where people have really loved that word. And you don't often see that word in mosaics. Or in artwork. I mean, you see other words maybe, but laugh is not one you see very often. But
yeah.
Each piece is totally unique.
Yeah, I love to laugh. And I try to start off the L with an old watch so that you'll know that it's time to laugh. So
okay,
but, yeah.
It's time to laugh. I like that.
It's time to laugh.
And speaking of watches, there's a piece called Clockwork Orange in the shop that has about a million pieces of watch pieces and watch faces. Did it take you a long time gathering up all those watch faces?
It did. When I go to estate sales or Goodwill and looking for, you know, old jewelry, a lot of times I'll find big jars, and you get what's inside. And I had all these watches, and I thought, I've got to do something with these. I'm not going to throw them away. So that's what I did. I decided to make a clock out of clocks. And it was a lot of fun to do.
Some of the work is very whimsical and very fun. And starting with these small mini words that have been very popular that are just maybe, what are they, 6 or 8 inches, and it's still very ornate with various vintage jewelry pieces. Did you just start making those recently?
I did. And those are a little bit harder to make than the larger ones because a lot of the jewelry has to be taken, like in beads and stuff, they have to be taken apart and put on individually. But I can play around with, I made one today called Peace, and I made it with pearls and blues and pinks and gold, and each one of those pieces had to be put on individually. But I can find more words that are in the mini versions, and I think they're more affordable for people, too. And if somebody wants some of my art in their home, I want them to be able to have it.
Right. And it's easy enough to put in your suitcase when you're traveling. We've had so many people from around the world, actually. Recently, we had someone from Bulgaria, someone from Serbia, Italy, El Salvador, Venezuela. I mean, I'm just surprised, really. And I have lived in major metropolitan areas like Washington, D.C., where we had a lot of international people. But you don't think that a little historic town like St. Charles would have so many international visitors. But they hear about St. Charles being the original state capital. They hear about the wonderful little shopping area in St. Charles. And, you know, it's an unspoiled town that still has that charm and that authenticity, right? You know?
Right.
It hasn't been overtaken by a lot of major corporate interests and like some of the other tourist locations around the country.
Exactly.
What do you like best about St. Charles?
Butterfly Moon.
Good answer, but we...
you didn't pay me to do that either.
Yeah, I didn't pay you to do that.
What I like about St. Charles is you do see artisans down there. If you want something unique... then you can probably find it in St. Charles. When my oldest son was in high school, he went to Japan as an exchange student for a while, and I wanted to get some things for him to take to the family that he was staying with as gifts. So I went to St. Charles, and I found different things that kind of showed that this was America and the United States, and his family received them very well, and they were real happy with it. So, like I said, you can find most anything you want in St. Charles. There's the glass shop down there that I frequent quite frequently. And it's just a unique
And, of course,
place.
All the cute little restaurants like Magpies and sitting out on the patio and having their wonderful strawberry lemonade or the Bike Stop Cafe has, I think, the best sandwiches in St. Charles. And just some really cute locally owned restaurants and shops that – you know, like you said, have something for everyone, and most
they
of them are open 7 days. They're open on the weekends, and there are a lot of visitors that come in for the conventions at the St. Charles Convention Center and, of course, the Ameristar Casino, and then the wonderful promotion that everyone receives from Streetscape Magazine, and they're having their upcoming Fashion Week at the end of September at Lambert Airport, and they will be having 3 nights of fashion, and that will be September 23, 24, 25, and each night benefits a different charity. Butterfly and Moon will be there every night, and I know we'll have some of Barb Lillis's artwork there, so you can come see us at Lambert Airport any of those 3 nights. If you need a ticket, stop by Butterfly and Moon and pick one up. Other events happening in St. Charles outside of the Festival of Little Hills, which is this weekend, is the Mosaic Festival, which has been going on for a number of years. It's on North Main Street, and it's a juried art show with artists from around the country. It's September 18, 19, and 20. And, Barb, you got into that show this year. Tell us about that. How did you hear about it, and what was the application process like?
Well, one of the organizers is one of my neighbors, and I had been to the Mosaic Festival years ago. This is their 21st year, and I had been down there and looked and enjoyed it so much that I decided I would investigate, and I went online, and I went to artfestivals.com, and I found out how to apply. And what you do is you have to, of course, send in an application online, but you have to send in photos of your work, and you have to send in a photo of your booth. And then that's how they judge whether or not you're going to be in the show, by what you send in. So that's how I got interested in it. And last year, they asked me to be on, what is the name of that show? Show Me St. Louis, to help advertise the festival, I mean, not festival, the Mosaic Festival. So that was a lot of fun. I got to go down and be on with Heidi, and so that was fun.
Well, we love Show Me St. Louis. And Julie Tristan, who was one of the hosts on that show, who's now at 103.3, we actually carry Julie's mom's book by Catherine Tristan, Why Worry, which actually just sold out yesterday. She was the first author to sell out her first 10 books, and we picked some up this morning on the way into St. Charles. Patrice met her at a parking lot and picked up some more books. So, yeah, we have so many talented people in this community, and
I think that's
one thing people are very surprised when they come in, because it is the only shop on Main Street that features art by women and local women from predominantly Missouri. I know there is one from Minnesota and one from Michigan, but the majority of the artists are women artists from Missouri. And the mayor of St. Peter's, Len Pagano, was in the other day, and he was really impressed, and he spent a lot of time looking around. He really liked a lot of the French-themed items. They're having a mayor's ball or something in April, which Paris is the theme. And so he really liked, and he has for a long time promoted Shop Local efforts and initiatives. So shout out to Mayor Pagano, as well as Mayor Sally Faith was at our ribbon cutting, and all the mayors in this area are just really great with the small business community.
You know, I'm so fortunate to have my stuff in your shop, because before that, you know, the only thing I was doing with the shows, and I tried to limit myself to 3 to 4 shows a year, because usually they're 3 days long, and they are, as you said earlier, they're very taxing. And we've traveled as far as Michigan for shows, so you have to make a trip out of it, and you have to have some place to stay, so we bought a little trailer. But I'm so fortunate to be down there with you guys, because people are actually getting to see my stuff that would never have seen it before. And I'm proud of my art, and I'm glad that you like my art, too. So thank you very much.
Oh, well, it's the artist and the art that we like, too. And the artist's spouse. We don't want to overlook the other artist in the family. Tom Lillis is also on the line with us, and Tom has been a big part of working with Barb and helping her build some of the frames, and, of course, getting into dumpsters and diving for bowling balls. Welcome to the program, Tom. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Brenda. How are you doing?
Hey, good. Did you ever think early in life when you married this crazy lady that you'd be willing to jump into dumpsters for her?
You know, from the first time I saw her, I knew I'd be willing to jump into a dumpster for her. That hasn't changed.
Well, it's true love, and it's great to see a couple that works so well together, because, you know, every couple has, you know, their challenges and different personalities, and but you guys have really come together as a unit and an artistic unit, supporting each other and creating work together. And you have had a very different background. You were a pilot, so I mean, that's a big transition from being a pilot to an artist. So can you tell us a little bit about your own transition into the artistic world?
Well, most of it has to do with my wife. When she was a kindergarten teacher, I spent a lot of time helping her do things in her classroom, and you know, you end up a lot of that rubs off on you, and it makes your harder side a little bit softer. So just being around her, watching her grow, knowing some of the things that she's been through, and the support that she gave, you know, for me. When we first got married, the first thing I did is I packed her up and I took her to the Philippines for 3 years. And although we had fun over there, you know, it was really the first time that she'd been a long way away from home and her family. So things were not as peachy as one would imagine for the first little bit. But the payback was then I took her to Hawaii for 3 years. So that was good, and that helped us grow up as a couple. And then when she elected to retire, I was working here in the St. Louis area, so I decided to retire. We did a little bit of traveling, and then just helping her with some of her work. There's parts of her work that the environment that she works in that she really likes, the mosaics being one of them. The part that she doesn't like is the soldering. So any stained glass thing that had to do with soldering, I got to do. So yep. It was just a matter of survival. I either learned how to do that or I didn't, and I elected to.
Well, that is really neat. And you know, not every spouse would be as supportive, so hats off to you. And hats off to, you know, recognizing her contributions early on in the marriage. And I think a lot of women, you know, at least traditionally back in the 60s and 70s, you know, did follow their husband's career. One of my sisters moved to Africa and India, and they were also in the Philippines. And, you know, there are a lot of times that women will make the sacrifices and delay their stuff. And so it's really nice that you're there now for her and supporting her artwork and your team, really. It's a team effort. And yeah, these shows out of town, I can't even imagine. I mean, I remember doing shows just in the greater St. Louis area with our jewelry, and the numbers of milk, you know, Rubbermaid containers and boxes yeah, and display fixtures, it really gets tiring. And so it's a labor of love. It's a passion. But to know ultimately that the customer who is going to hold that piece of art lovingly in their hands. I mean, when I've seen people pick up the artwork, the mosaics especially, and like almost fondle them, they are looking at this piece of artwork. They're knowing that this artwork is one of a kind, that there's not a second piece out there anywhere in the world like it, that they are getting a piece that was made locally, made in the United States, which is really a neat thing because so many times, you know, there's a lot of knockoff art made in other countries. It's not made that well. It's probably made with child labor. Who knows what? But to get something made in the good old USA, get something made locally that was made with love and intention. I mean, people feel that love and intention that Barb and you put into the art pieces. And, you know, I had one gentleman that bought a piece. He was buying it for his wife, and it was early on when we started carrying Barb's art, and I think there was one piece in the whole store that wasn't signed, and he had picked it up, and that was the piece he was buying. And I remember we couldn't quite, you know, get her to the store because he was leaving out of town that day, and I remember giving him Barb's bio right out of the picture frame so he'd have something to put with the piece of art when he gave it to his wife. But he was like so happy and so proud that he found this really loving gift to give his wife. And I just thought that was such a touching, it was a touching moment. Yeah. And it feels really good that, you know, we're facilitating that. And, you know, because people can go into the mall and buy a piece of jewelry or buy something that's impersonal, really. But to pick out a mosaic art is a very personal selection. And, I mean, do you have stories, Tom or Barb, that you've heard from some of your past customers that have come back later to see you and say, this is what happened when I gave that piece of art to someone?
Yeah, I've had a couple of people come do that, and it's very rewarding for me, and it keeps me going, you know, because I try to put love into everyone that I do, and I just enjoy so much watching it develop as I'm creating it, and it kind of gives me chill bumps when something turns out really well, or I'll bring something down that I'm not sure if I like it or not, and Tom goes, wow, that's really cool. So, yeah, I've had friends come back and tell me thank you. I had one gal whose mother died, and she gave me a lot of her her mother's old jewelry, and then she gave me some of her old jewelry. And for her, I decided to make a cross, and I did not know which was her mother's jewelry and which was hers. So I made the cross and gave it to her, and she says, "You have put mine and my mother's jewelry together." And she says, "So we're always together." You know.
That's touching.
Yeah.
So how do you continue to challenge yourself as an artist? What are you doing? What's something you'd like to learn how to do and next on your own personal goals?
Well, one thing that I was looking into was transferring, taking a picture from the computer and putting it on this transfer paper, and then I put it onto the stained glass. But I haven't perfected that yet. But there was a gentleman next to me last year at the Mosaic Festival who did that wooden bowls, and he did that, and it's just beautiful. So I'm still working on that. That may take
a while. There's always something new and different. And I do want to mention to our listeners, because the show is recorded live but also recorded for downloadable listening in the future, that there are opportunities for custom orders. So if you want a certain word like love, family, believe, live, any of these wonderful words that
right.
Barb does in Mosaic Art, you can request the word, you can request the colors, gold or silver, certain symbols or lettering, and then there are those memory letters. Talk about that, letters.
Okay. The memory letters I got started when a friend gave me her mother's jewelry, and so I decided I would do something for the friend, and that's how I got started. I've put it in. I made the letter, and she was just so excited about it. So it makes for memories, because you can look at something that has a loved one's jewelry on it, and it floods you with memories of that person, of good memories, of happy memories, of how much you loved them, sometimes not even good memories. But like I said, it's just a memorial that, I think is good for everyone. And it's a conversation piece, like they can talk to their children about it, and they say, "Oh, I remember the time that we did so-and-so and so-and-so." And so it keeps the family history going, too, which a lot of times we're forgetting.
Mm-hmm. And because the families are so spread out now all over the country, you don't have that close-knit family sometimes. I mean, you still in the Midwest have it, but mostly around the country, families now are living in lots of different states. And so those stories are not getting passed down from generation to generation, where you sit around the kitchen table and talk about your Aunt Laura or your Aunt Bee and different family stories. And so these vintage jewelry mosaics are a way to pass on some of the stories through the jewelry, and to keep those pieces in the family instead of giving them away and not knowing what to do with them, but to create them into a work of art and share maybe mom's or grandmom's jewelry with, you know, all the different sisters and daughters in that family line. So
yeah,
it's a way to maybe do that.
Well, that's one of the reasons I started doing it, because I thought it would be very good for, you know, families, to like you said, not to have to throw it away or give it away or whatever. So, but and it's been received very well from the friends that I did for out here, and as you said, at your shop, it's been received very well, and I'm glad I can do that.
Well, and it's nice that you're willing to teach what you know, because Barb has done a sort of a mini teaching experience at the Foundry Arts Center. Maybe it was an experiment too. Teaching people how to make mosaics on little magnets, on little pieces of wood that were magnets, and I made my first little mosaic. I was so tickled I was able to make it in a half hour at the Foundry at North Main Street. And we'll be teaching a class the end of August, on Sunday, August 30th, at Butterfly and Moon. And that class has sold out. We have 12 people. Yeah, it sold out a week ago, actually. We had 12 people sign up for it, and we, of course, heavily promoted it. But we had one of our artists is a young lady who takes photographs, and her grandmother is taking the class. And then there's another artist who we started taking in her artwork in at the store, Lori Ritchie, and she signed up for the class. And then one of our friends from church signed up. So, yeah, the word spread, and we'll probably have to repeat that workshop. But what are some of the things you'll be teaching in that workshop on August 30th at Butterfly and Moon?
Well, one of the things, I think we'll make a frame, you know, because you can always put a mirror in a frame, or you can put your favorite grandchild or, you know, whatever in the frame. But one of the things I want to teach them to do is how to start and how to prepare the jewelry. I'll be bringing snippers in because you have to have a strong grip to be able to take, like, if you've got clip earrings, you have to, you know, cut that clip off. And then I'll show them the glue that I use and tell them the best ways to use it and the ways not to. And then how to, once you get your big pieces on there, how to completely fill it in and make it your own. So
fantastic.
Hopefully they
enjoy it. Do you ever get arthritis or stiffness in your hand from all that clipping?
No.
That's good. All right, good. So
yeah.
That workshop's coming up, Mosaic Festival, September 18, 19, and 20, and there will be a VIP reception on Thursday night, September 17th, at Butterfly and Moon, 814 South Main Street, with Barb and Tom Lillis. So people can meet them, get their work signed, talk with the artist about her work, her process. We'll have some nice refreshments and appetizers, and that will be just a nice little thing to do to kick off the Mosaic Festival.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That should be a lot of fun, and I hope everyone will come out and join us because I like to meet people that they've bought my art and I haven't met them before. I would like to meet them. That was one thing that was fun when I was down there for Fraser's opening house. And
Fraser Leonard?
Yes, mm-hmm. I got to meet a gal that bought one of the birdhouses, and she told me a cute story about how her daughter had taken her mother's jewelry and made a jewelry box. And she says, and I kept thinking I would get it for Christmas, but I haven't. So but it was nice meeting her and knowing that where this piece is, because at the shows I can see people take the art off and I know what they look like. So it was nice meeting her. So I'd like to meet some other people that night.
Okay, good. Well, we'll make sure we promote that so people can come down and meet you, and you get to meet them and hear their stories and such. So you'll be out of town for a couple of months going to the Southwest, and is that your time to rest and rejuvenate for the coming year? Do you get creatively inspired in the South?
I do a lot of work while we're out there. The weather is so nice. And Tom is such an enabler. He takes all of my equipment. We take it out there. I put it up outside our fifth wheel, and I just enjoy the outside, and I have the best time making stuff out there. So that's where I build up a lot of my inventory.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's
so
where
do
she,
you drive that out, Tom?
Oh, yeah, we take it all out.
You drive out in a vehicle.
Yeah, we drive
with
out.
All that.
Yeah, we. Yeah, it's really easy. We used to haul a trailer out back and forth, but we've got to the point now where we've got some of the equipment out there. We just leave. A lot of it we take. Usually Arizona's where she works on her bigger pieces, the windows. I mean, we've been talking about the vintage jewelry words and things, and those are, I mean, that's spectacular work. But she also does a lot of bigger stuff. I mean, she'll do stained glass birdhouses. She does old windows. She did one Keener Plaza, which was sold out of your shop and was a hit. She just finished one of the old depot down in St. Charles, and that'll be in our display at the Mosaic Festival. And she's working on one of Bush Stadium, which is going to be about 36 by 36. That's a really a spectacular piece, and it'll also be on display down at the Mosaic Festival.
Thank you.
Well, fantastic. Well, we look forward to seeing that and seeing other new creations that are coming along. And So when you're down there, I know that one of the things I love about the Southwest is the skies and the sunsets. They're just some unusual turquoise and oranges and colors that you don't often get to see in this region.
Right.
So does being in a new environment, I know Georgia O'Keeffe used to always go to the Southwest from New York City and do some of her best work down there. I mean, do you feel inspired with the big skies and the big sunsets?
Oh, yeah. The colors are amazing out there. And this year, excuse me, I plan to do a lot more hiking than I've done before, and I think that will inspire me a lot more too. But one of the things I like to do while we're out there is we have a hammock, and at sunset I like to get in the hammock with a glass of wine and watch the sun go down. During the day, I can lay there and look up at the sky, and it's so blue, and then you see all the contrails of all the airplanes going over, and it's just beautiful. I love it.
It is beautiful.
Yeah, I wouldn't trade that time for anything.
It's beautiful. Yeah, what's some advice for women? A lot of the artists we have at the store are entering their second chapter in their life and giving themselves permission to experiment and try new art forms. And what's your advice to someone, that says, oh, I don't have any artistic talent, or I could never do that, or, I have a creative bone in my body. What do you say to them?
I kind of thought that for a while, too. And I have a friend who says that also. And I just say, just get out there and try something. If it doesn't turn out the first time, which a lot of my stuff didn't, don't get discouraged. Just try again, because every time you're trying to do something, you're learning something, and you're building on your synapses in your brain about how to do it. And, you can't give up. You just have to keep pressing on and trying. And if you don't like that thing, after 6 months, try something else. But you will find something that you like. And even if it only pleases you, that in itself is a success in itself.
I think that's the key, too, Brenda. If you do something and it makes you happy, then it's worth the experience.
Mm-hmm. And that so many times people are just living sort of at a lower energy, and they're kind of in a routine of going to work and dealing with family crises and issues, and they're just sort of get into living, like I call it, sleepwalking. Do you see that in other people? And what's your advice if someone is in that mindset, how to break out of that mindset?
Oh, you have to dig down into yourself to do that. And you have to be surrounded by people who are uplifting and that inspire you. I have a friend that's kind of like that, and I'm worried about her, but I'm going to get over there and work on her some. So you got to, like I said, you have to have people that love you and back you and say, push you forward.
And that is so true. And we talk about that on this show with other, authors and success coaches, that your environment is critical to your success. And if you plant a carrot seed in poor soil or in the middle of a desert, it might not grow. But if you give that carrot seed, good soil, good fertilizer, good conditions. You have to have that positive environment. And sometimes it does mean moving away from negative energy and negative people and not associating. And that might be hard to do initially. But if you surround yourself with other creative types and people that are constantly setting goals for themselves and challenging
That's
themselves.
That's the thing. That's the key, setting goals for yourself.
I
believe that.
Yeah, Tom, you have a home-based business with Legal Shield, and I know with that company and companies like that, it's constant motivation. It's constantly feeding your brain, listening to speaker tapes and reading books. Are there books or speakers that you've been listening to that are inspiring you to set even bigger goals than you've set in the past?
Well, there are. I am lucky to be in a particular group within this this company. I say the company is Legal Shield. That my mentor is one of the most motivating speakers I've heard in my life. And a gentleman is 26 years old. He came from a family, a large family, that had absolutely nothing. He went off to college, was a college wrestler for a couple of years, and ended up dropping out of college. And he met the number two money earner in our company just on a lark. Came in, and in the last 6 years, this guy is just, you know, he's gone through the roof. Both of them are dynamic speakers, and the thing that makes them so good, and you know, I would throw this out to the rest of the audience, if you believe in what you're doing, if you believe in your product, or if you believe in your on your business, you believe what you're doing, it's a lot easier to talk about it than if you don't. And someone once told me that a sale is nothing more than a transference of belief. And I heard that, and it's made me a lot better person across the board, not just in the business that I'm in, but in dealing with people. And it makes me, even at my ripe old age, it makes me hungry for more information.
That's awesome. I love it. Well, you two are a delight to know. We're going to have a lot of fun this weekend at the Festival of the Little Hills, and then that's this month, and then next month, the Mosaic Festival in historic St. Charles. Come check us out. Come down if you're in the greater St. Louis region or coming to town to visit in the near future. Come by Butterfly and Moon at 814 South Main Street. See the beautiful mosaics and stained glass pieces made by Barb Lillis, and Tom Lillis has some art there as well. And check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/butterflyandmoon. And Barb has a profile on the new website, butterflyandmoon.com. If you go to art and then click on artists, you'll see her picture. Click on the picture, and then that takes you to the individual artist page. Thank you for liking facebook.com/alivetothrive. Thank you for telling people about our show. We'll be back next week at 12 noon Central with Dr. David Tribus. He's a chiropractor here in St. Louis, and he is an expert on nutrition and wellness and how to avoid dangerous pharmaceuticals and instead replace that with natural things that can help with health and healing. And he's just an all-around great guy, and we'll be delighted to be speaking with him next Friday. So thanks, everyone. Have a great weekend. Thanks, Tom, and thanks, Barb, and we'll see you soon at the store.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Thanks. Thanks, Brenda.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. We're going to end with a selection of Steve Gelman's song, Peaceful World. You can pick up his CDs at Butterfly Moon. He's actually an artist somewhat like John Denver, beautiful words and ballads and meaningful songs. So have a great weekend.
We're looking for a peaceful world.
Peaceful.
trying to be a brother, a sister and a mother, a friend, a spouse, and a lover. Treat each other well, no one is going to hell. Teach love, not hate. It's a big round world, it's a beautiful world. We call it home, this old world.